Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome back to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Some quick show notes. If you're looking for wrestling today, Kentuckiana Die Hard Wrestling happening in Jeffersonville, Indiana. IWA Mid-South with a show in Charlestown, Indiana. Up in our neck of the woods at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling at the North Portland Eagles today, featuring Jason the Gift Kincaid of Ring of Honor fame. And also in Portland, WCWC. So some wrestling out there. Go out there, support your local independent pro wrestling. And make sure tomorrow you are aware that Gouge Pro Wrestling running a show in North Carolina. So check out the fine people of Gouge on Independence Day. Celebrate the holiday with them. QT, sounds like some good professional wrestling happening over the holiday weekend.
Yes, Sunday, and I am pleased to announce to our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans that I will be making the trek down to Blue Collar Wrestling and looking at Jason Kincaid. And I happened to see a match of his, of course, last Friday. He was a subject of our topic that we brought up during our Turnbuckle Turmoil interview on Friday, Jason Kincaid. I brought up his Viking Celtic heritage.
That is true. Do you plan to investigate this farther with him today?
I hope to investigate this further. Now, I know that backstage security might be keeping an extra eye out. I hope to evade security and blatantly go into the locker room in my search for Jason Kincaid. Jason Kincaid and me have a line of communication open, and I'm sure that he would stick up with security if they have any questions about my appearance. Yes.
Well, you know, as someone that is allowed backstage, I can confirm that the people that reside back there are not too friendly towards invaders.
I see. How about if this invader comes bearing fruit pie, said fruit pie?
Mildly accepting of the fruit pie and then turning their focus to the fact that there is an invader in the locker room.
Whoa, that sounds like a soldier ant invading a foreign ant colony. Yes, he is quickly surrounded and booted out from what I'm getting it from you, sign guy. Yes, foreign ant.
Now, is that a reference to the ants that reside in CZW?
Yes, CZW, yes. The ants, the soldier ants, exploding grenades, yes.
Very good. Have you ever been hit with an invisible grenade that was procured from someone's trunks?
I have not, but I hope to reenact this with Big B during intermission. That's a dream of mine. It's always
really?
Been a dream of mine to reenact a grenade scene. Yes.
I did not know that fact.
Well, yes, I hope to get Big V and Patty involved. Yes.
Now, what role would Patty play? Would she dig into the trunks to procure the grenade?
I think that's always been a wish of hers, yes. And I think Amos would agree with that. Yes, Laren Golden Songbird Amos. I think she would agree with Patty's role in this, reaching into Big V's trunk and removing a grenade.
Oh, so it would be Big V's trunks and not your own.
Oh, my own. Well, that would be a slight nightmare for Patty, yes.
All right. I thought maybe you were going to throw the grenade rather than have the grenade thrown at you.
Oh, well, if I get a chance to work with Big V, I will have the grenade thrown at me. So I just hope, I just think adrenaline would kick in and I'd be able to overcome the shrapnel of said grenade. Yes.
It's pretty devastating for several moments. I've seen the effects of those invisible hand grenades that Chuck Taylor liked to throw.
Well, son guy, if I was stunned by said grenade and I got some shrapnel in me and things were getting hazy and I was approaching those pearly gates and I was in agony, that Crash Lena would cradle me in her lovely arms. Crash Lena.
Do you think she would do an emergency marriage ceremony so you could go out with the knowledge that you leave behind someone to take care of your estate?
Oh, wow, someone to the estate. Yeah, that's a pretty good idea, yes. A Crash Lena QT connection. I think Devin Bellinger would be all for this, yes.
And possibly. Do you think he would have Crash Lena make appearances at Who's on First sports cards as some sort of mascot or spokesperson for the store?
Yes, I believe you're right on that aspect, son guy. As you know, I have been in touch with Devin Bellinger, and I am doing a transgender remodeling of his bathroom. This is in connection of taking out his glass displays for about a month's time, putting the glass displays in storage, and putting in a wrestling ring at Who's on First, and I get a match with, like, a hot dog of the Rosebud Club fame. Yes.
I know that hot dog. Are you sure that's what you want? Because he's wiry.
That's what I want. This is very exclusive, sign guy. This is the first on Turnbuckle Turmoil. I am forming, of course, a Rosebud Club for Paw Moonshine. Now, I think Paw Moonshine, a little bit hesitant about this Rosebud Club. He kind of has taken on the role of Adam Rose. I don't want to get myself pushed around like Hot Dog did backstage. So I have undergone contracts, and they're starting tomorrow with Aaron Bolo for him to be my Hot Dog trainer, Rosebud trainer for Paw Moonshine, should things turn testy. After all, Paul Moonshine and I are still traveling down a slightly rocky road.
Is that a reference to Paul Moonshine's third favorite ice cream flavor?
No, it's the rocky roads in Appalachia, sign guy. They just don't have too many paved roads there. That's what I'm getting at.
Now,
yes.
Speaking of Appalachia, QT, we all know that the Moonshine brothers hail from Appalachia, but also,
yes,
so does the modern vintage champion, Jason the Gift Kincaid, whom will be at NWA Blue Collar tonight. Do you think that there's any sort of connection there? Do you think maybe he's a distant relative of the Moonshine clan?
I'm a slightly perplexed by that sign, guy. People of the Norse Viking Celtic lineage usually don't quite end up in the Appalachians. What is a Viking and Norse Valhalla type Jason Kincaid doing in Appalachia?
Well, I believe he was born and raised there. Perhaps in part by Paul Moonshine.
All right, so you're saying he's third generation and he did not immigrate from Iceland?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, all right. Well, now that's I'm going to have to be 100% sure on that. So I will ask Jason Kincaid an Icelandic question, yes.
Very interesting.
And I hope to bring a couple signs that will catch Jason Kincaid's attention should I not be able to sneak backstage like I planned, yes.
You're still going with that, huh?
Yes. So, sign guy, I'm fairly limited this week on fruit pies, and Bob Hardy has been screaming at me that he has never got a fruit pie. Now I'm sure that in his fogged-up mind that I have given him a fruit pie in the past. He has just never acknowledged it, or it's dimmed from his memory. So I guess this priority number one pie goes to Bob Hardy. Yes.
He
did make a rather vocal pitch to get a fruit pie last week.
That's true, very vocal, yes. And to do so at a wedding when there was so much cake around.
Well, while good
Don't
is all that cake, you have your heart set on a fruit pie. I believe we are joined by our guest. I'd like to bring him on right away. Do we have with us Mr. Charlie Norris?
You got me, brother. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for taking time today to be with us. We appreciate that. Now, our first question to you, since it's your first time on our program, we give everyone this question to start. How did you get involved in the world of professional wrestling?
Been a fan my whole life. I kind of always knew I was going to do it in my heart. Eddie Sharkey seen me playing basketball at the gym one day. A friend of mine and a friend of his introduced me to him. The next day I went to the wrestling school and met all the wrestlers, and 3 weeks later I had my first match. So I caught on pretty fast.
Did you have any type of amateur wrestling background going into professional wrestling, or did you pick it up strictly as a professional?
I picked it up. I studied it most of my life, you know, watching it ever since I was a kid. But, no, I wished I would have had some amateur background, because when we trained at Brad Rangan School, I mean, I got it handed to me every day by the real wrestler guys. But I picked the real shooters. But I picked it up pretty fast. I picked it up pretty fast because I had good teachers and good guys, and Eddie Sharkey was a great trainer. Yeah.
At the time that you were breaking into the business in Minnesota, there were a lot of great wrestlers coming out of that area. You had guys like Jerry Lynn, Sean Waltman, the Hater was out there.
The Hater was there. He
what
was
do
the
you
original
think it was
Stone
that,
Cold.
Yeah, I can see that, actually.
What do you think was
the reason there were so many great wrestlers coming out of Minnesota in the early 90s?
Man, because I don't know. It's just always been a hotbed for the pro wrestlers here. And, a lot of world champions came from here. I don't know the answer to that. We're lucky to, I mean, I can name them all day long how many guys were here. And there was a lot of guys that if we would have had YouTube and the internet back then, and guys such as the Hater and myself and Jerry Lynn, and we would have made it a lot sooner in the business. And we didn't have the exposure back then, you know, that we could have had right now. I mean, there's a lot of guys that would have been superstars here that didn't have the exposure, and it was hard. There's only two promotions to go to, you know.
Now, in the early 90s, independent wrestling was starting to become more and more popular. They were getting exposure in the magazines, and they had replaced the territorial system that had started to die out at that point in time. Do you think, in your opinion, you would have succeeded better in the territorial days when there were full-time territories, or do you think that the independent scene was the right era for you to have gone into wrestling?
The territorial would have been good for would have been good if we would have had TV in that territory. Say if we're like five-state area here and we got TV only in these five states, maybe Canada or whatever. You know, that was before they had 200 channels on TV. But, the territorial, we would have got more exposure faster. Like, I like to watch the Ring of Honor guys. And, you know, I mean, I could match our guys up to anybody in the business, even still today, you know. I mean, not. I mean, just watching the guys that are working today, our guys back then could have held their own easy with the guys that are working today.
You were shortly into your career signed by WCW and started working for them. How did that opportunity come about for you?
I sent them a tape, and Ole Anderson, whose mother lives here in Minneapolis, good friends with Eddie Sharkey, he came up and scouted us out at the matches one night, and luckily I had a pretty good match that night with Randy Gusto. And he liked me, you know, and he said, would you be interested in coming down? And I said, yeah. And then one evening I was laying at home about a month later. I didn't hear nothing from him. About a month later, I'm laying on the couch, and Dusty Rhodes calls me up. And him and Ole are sitting in the office down there and said, okay, your ticket will be in the mail, and we want to bring you down for a tryout match. And me and Jeff Warner went down there, and I got hired. I worked with Rip Rogers, and I think he's an Indiana guy. And, yeah, he did. We had a pretty good match, and then I got hired and started doing TV tapings in Orlando months later.
You mentioned Rip Rogers. He is one of the guys that has trained a lot of the guys that are on top in the business today. He was head trainer OVW for quite some time. When you got in there with Rip, did you find it was easy to wrestle someone with his experience and skill set, or was it a little bit of a challenge not having wrestled Rip before that?
Yeah, I couldn't understand why Rip didn't get a push anywhere. I mean, he was a hell of a wrestler. You know, I know he did pretty good in Japan. I don't know. I mean, but he helped me get hired. You know, he busted his butt for me out there, and I really appreciated that.
Going from the independent circuit to a national company like WCW that had cable television, did you find that the success notoriety that you had changed you at all as a person, be it professionally or personally, when you were starting out at WCW?
Oh, no. I was the same, you know. I was the same. I think more than anything, I trusted too many people, and you know, there's a lot of backstabbing going on in that locker room sometimes, but I remember the second night when I was on the road in Daytona, I got to wrestle Chris Benoit on that tour, 18 days, and Sid Vicious and Sting almost got into a big fight right there in the locker room that night, and I'm like, wow, this is how it really is backstage, man. You know, it shocked me, you know, but, yeah, no, I didn't change. I don't think I changed anyways. I kept in touch with all my friends here. You know, I called them all the time. And, you know, just to let them know that it's harder. It's hard being on the road. You know, it's not easy.
And going into WCW from the independents, what were some of the major differences, if there were any, as far as what you needed to do to be successful?
Well, no one's going to babysit you. You gotta fight back in there. And the ring was better. And being with that camera right in your face, there's 18 cameras. You know, if you more nerve, you know, a lot of nervous, and you want to look good on there. I mean, you know. But you know, a lot of major differences, there's more pressure on you. There's a lot of pressure on you to look decent and, you know, not hurt anybody, break anybody's neck, and keep yourself, you know, in shape. And I got to work with Russell and, you know, a lot of guys down there. I mean, Chris Benoit was probably probably one of the best, Bobby Eaton, you know, and Mick Foley. So I got to do it with some pretty good guys, you know. I was lucky.
One of the guys that you wrestled on television was Lord Steven Regal when he was the television champion. He has, of course, the British style of wrestling. Did you ever find it hard to adapt to guys that had a different style, like the European style or the Japanese style, as opposed to a traditional American style of wrestling?
A little bit, you know, a little bit. He had different styles, Steven Regal, but, you know, you just got to adapt in there, and, you know, he's got to adapt to me at the same time. So, actually, we had a pretty good match on TV there one time, and I really respected him a lot more after that. I mean, he was great in there. He was real, he played it up, you know, real snobby, snooty type guy, and we had a heck of a match. It was different, yeah. But you just got to adapt, you know. It don't take too long to do that. You just got to do your stuff in there, you know.
At WCW, of course, they were part of a corporation that was just one part of the overall picture there in Atlanta. Whom did you report to if there were any problems on your end? Who were the immediate bosses that you had to report to? And was it a bit of an adjustment going from the independents, where there's usually one promoter, maybe a booker, to somewhere where there's a long chain of command?
Yeah, that was hard, because from like week to week sometimes down there, you didn't know who was in charge. I didn't even know that Dusty got fired or Ole got fired and Eric Bischoff took over. I didn't even know that. A lot of the boys didn't know that, you know. And there's, I mean, you don't even know who's on the booking committee. I mean, you don't know. You don't know. I mean, who's in charge, and you know, you got to watch everything sometimes, you know. Yeah, that was kind of hard, you know, because Bischoff's guys, then, you know, they got all the exposure, you know, his favorite guys, and like all the promoters had their guys, you know. So it was easier in independence, because we had a lot more fun in the locker room. It wasn't so tense and tight and. You know, it's just more looser on an independent scale.
You said earlier that you enjoy the Ring of Honor product. Who are some of the talents that are out there today that you most enjoy watching in the ring?
Well, the only ones I really watch is the Briscoes. I love those guys, man. Oh, geez, they're awesome. I'd love those guys, and I don't really watch it too much, because it's hard to watch. It's just hard to watch, you know. Too much talking, and not enough wrestling.
And the Briscoes, of course, wrestle as singles a lot right now, but they're also a great tag team whenever they do team up. Did you personally have a preference in your career as far as being a singles wrestler or being a tag team wrestler, since you did both of that quite a bit?
Well, both of them have their upside, and the tag matches were a lot of fun, because then you could really look around in the audience, and you could you know, look in the ring, and you can figure out what you're going to do next when you go in there, instead of just going in there and thinking about it, you know, what am I going to do? But me and Sam Houston, we made a pretty good team together, the Renegades, and we were on the local TV down there in Dallas and Louisiana, I think Oklahoma. So that was a lot of fun teaming up, but I would rather wrestle single, really, actually.
One of the things that has happened in wrestling in the last few years is the major companies have really gotten involved in the concussion problem. We've learned a lot more about what concussions can do long term, and the major companies are keeping wrestlers out of the ring when they suspect that they are concussed. Do you think that there is a problem with concussions, say 20 years ago, that could have been prevented or possibly helped if the companies would have had the knowledge that they do now about concussions? Or do you think back then there was less concern about the wrestler's welfare?
Well, the wrestlers really didn't know. I don't know how many concussions I had. I mean, I watched some of my matches, and oh my God, I don't know how many. Bret Hart was telling us one time that you get a concussion, like say in the first few minutes of your match, every time that you land and take a slam or something after that and hit your head, that's another concussion. Every time is another concussion. And we didn't really know that. We weren't educated to that back then. And yeah, you don't see a lot of those hard chair shots and a lot of that talked about back then. Back then it was funner because, I didn't know. I didn't know about concussions. I know that I had a couple. I know I don't remember driving home a few times, and I don't remember anything about the rest of the day when I hit my head really hard. I got kicked really hard. So yeah, I mean, I know that was a concussion, but I don't know how many I suffered. I know a lot of them because I am so forgetful today, and it's unbelievable how forgetful I am.
One of the things that I've noticed in wrestling is a lot of times when someone does get a concussion, they often have this instinct that kicks in and they can have a really, really good match and not remember any of it.
Anything,
by the time they step out of the ring. Did you ever experience that phenomenon?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I probably had a better match when I had the concussion. Don't remember anything. You're fearless then. I don't know. I know that I had some pretty good matches after I did get a concussion. The few times that I know for sure I had one. I know in Japan I got a bad one over there one time. And, oh, man, I didn't think I was going to make it, And but, yeah, I don't remember the rest of my match. It turned out to be a really, really actually great match. And that happens, or it used to happen.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that QT also has some questions, so I'm going to turn things over to him.
Hey, all right, man.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Charlie.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Looking forward to going to a Blue Collar Wrestling event in Portland this afternoon.
Portland, huh?
Yes, the Great Northwest.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, yeah, I grew up in the Northwest in the 70s, and I was a huge fan of Portland wrestling, and they had such people come through as Jesse Ventura, Kurt Hennig, the Von Steiger brothers, Dutch Savage, and Dutch Savage had his main nemesis was Apache Bull Ramis. Are you familiar with Apache Bull Ramis?
I've never met him, but I know I used to follow him in the magazines. What's that guy he used to team up with? The Goliath. He used to team up a lot with the Goliath, but that was down in Southern California area that way. But I don't know. I know that I do know who he is, and I used to read the magazines about it when I was a kid back in the 70s. But I know that was a heck of a territory out there. That was a great territory. Come in.
It was run by Don Owens. Yes.
Yes, Don Owens.
And he always paid his wrestlers very well, always paid them on time. I don't think he ever stiffed a wrestler. Did you yourself, when you were when you first started out in wrestling, did you ever have the misfortune of getting stiffed by a promoter?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's why Eddie Sharkey taught us one of the first things at wrestling camp was get a draw when you get to the matches, and get a draw. Try to get paid before. But always get a draw when you get there. Yeah, we've been stiff before, and I've heard a lot of stories about the promoter running out on with the money. I've heard a lot of horror stories about that. I remember them telling me one time about Shiloh Sam. He faked having a heart attack, and he had the money in a briefcase handcuffed to his arm. And I don't know, but a couple miles down the road from when he was in the ambulance, he jumped out of the ambulance and took off with all the money. Nobody got paid.
Do you mean that he faked a heart attack like Fred Sanford?
Yes, yes, he did, Shiloh Sam. I don't know how he fit in the ambulance. He was so doggone big, you know. But, yeah, he jumped out of the ambulance and headed out. That was down in Florida. True story.
Oh, boy. Wow, I hope Tex Thompson never tries that. Okay. He's a promoter.
Don't give anybody no ideas, huh?
Oh, okay. Now, Charlie, in your first WCW pay-per-view event, you faced a wrestler named Big Sky. Now, many of our Turnbuckle listeners have contacted me and asked, QT, Big Sky sounds like an Indian name. My question is, did you ask Big Sky before the match if he was Indian or Native American?
No, I barely talked to him. He didn't look like one, so I didn't ask him, but he wasn't too much into talking to anybody, really. I know he left after the match right away because I hit him pretty good with that super kick I did, and they played it in slow motion, and I caught him pretty good. You know, he was tall. He was a real 6'11", 7 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And that was his first match in like 8 months too. So I didn't think that was a good matchup for me on my first pay-per-view. You know, I wish I would have had Bobby Eaton or somebody like that.
Well, were you excited that Jesse Ventura was one of the commentators on your first WCW pay-per-view match? Jesse Ventura.
Oh, yeah. Jesse was cool as heck, man. He said on that match, during the match, he said that I own Park Casino up here in Minnesota. And I own, and people, when I go out and wrestle, there's people thought we were very wealthy, you know. The girls would think I was wealthy, and you know, a lot of people heard that. He heard him say that I own my own casinos and stuff up here, which ain't true, you know. So yeah, Jesse was funny like that. He was a good guy, still is a good guy.
Well, Charlie, the other announcer in the match said that, like you mentioned, that you were from the Chippewa tribe in Minnesota. Now, Minnesota is a pretty big state. Does the Chippewa Nation cover the whole state?
No, we got there's Sioux tribes down southern Minnesota. It's mostly Chippewa, northern Minnesota. Red Lake, we got the biggest lake in the state of Minnesota, and we are a sovereign nation. So we're kind of a unique reservation up there. But yeah, it's mostly Chippewa, but there's Sioux down southern Minnesota.
Wow, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie, I grew up in the Longview-Kelso area of Washington State, and the tribe that covers this area is the Cowlitz Indian tribe. I myself am part Cowlitz Indian, and my tribal name is Kuta Wekots U'ili Hulashar.
Wow, what does that mean?
Well, it literally translated, this means he who has sunk two canoes by the age of 15 and is as slow as a sloth in the ring.
Oh, man, for real?
Yes.
Wow. That's you get an Indian name, you know, your tribal name, that's your name, you know, you got to take it, you know.
Yes, I
the
know.
Sioux,
I
the Sioux have got some names that, you know, a lot of different type names than the Chippewas. Like my name is Wabashki Bene, and that means white thunderbird, which is, very proud of that name, yeah.
Holy smoy, Thunderbird. You know, now I think I saw in your match with Big Sky, when you entered the ring, you had an ornamental necklace. Did that have any connection to your name, White Thunderbird?
No, that was my grandma's.
Oh, okay.
That was my grandma's necklace, yeah. A lot of the stuff like that is handed down, and I do beadwork. I did a lot of beadwork and made my own stuff, and for some reason, they wouldn't let me wear it down there, Eric Bischoff, and then wouldn't let me wear my headdress, and they wouldn't let me have an Indian name or anything when I came in the ring, because Charlie Norris, I mean, that's not a, you know, that doesn't go too well with being a Native American, you know. So I just, you know, I was just taking it as experience down there, and hopefully I would, you know, something would change. But I always wanted to be more, and I wanted to do my own style of dancing, and I could do what they wanted me to do, you know. So, yeah, Bischoff wasn't too cool with me.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. At the 6:12 and 6:18 mark of the match, you went into a Chippewa war dance. Is your war dance any relationship to the Fiji Island war dance of Jimmy Superfly Snuka?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. Is it your hope
yeah.
to one day travel to the island of Fiji and show off your Chippewa war dance in a hope to combine both dances?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to go to Fiji. Heck yeah, man.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right, combined dances.
I'd love to do that and combine dances with them and, you know, see, I've never seen their dance before, and so I wouldn't know how similar it is to ours.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure there's some on YouTube. You could look up Fiji Island War Dance.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. All right. Well, Charlie, Grace Slick of the Jefferson Airplane, the Jefferson Starship, and later just the Starship, once said that no one should be in a rock band past the age of 33. Do you agree with the statement that no one should be in the wrestling ring once you're past the age of 43?
I agree with that because they don't want to give up their spot. You know, I mean, like Hulk Hogan, you know, he might be in a different category, but he wasn't going to let anybody, you know, go ahead of him. You know, even though people might have been burnt out and bored with him, I think 43 is a good number. Unless you got a strong gimmick as being Indian wrestler. Because, you know, the dancing and all that, I mean, you can get by with a lot more working your gimmick. And like the Bushwhackers, you know, they don't do much. And they were old back in the 50s, you know.
Oh, yes. The
good guys, though. Okay. Good guys. Nice guys. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, Charlie, at the 6:25 mark of the match, you whipped. I mistook the page. At the 6:25 mark of the match, you whipped your Charlie Norris into the turnbuckle and then kicked him in the face with a high knee lift, like we mentioned before. And then you got him in a cradle to secure the win.
Yeah.
Now, Big Sky stood about six – I mean, Big Sky stood about 6'8", from what I estimate, and weighed about 315 to 320 pounds. Was he in the top five of the biggest men you ever faced? Because he was only about an inch and a quarter shorter and 40 pounds lighter than Big John Studd and Big Cat Ernie Ladd.
Well, I've never really wrestled anybody that was really taller than me like that. And he was taller than 6'8". He was like 6'11". He was pretty tall because I'm 6'6". So he was, and I didn't wear no things in my boots like most guys do. You know, I don't wear no lifts or anything. So, yeah, he was a real 6'10", 6'11" guy. And, no, I've never wrestled anybody much that big before. So I wouldn't know.
Okay. Now, just for our turnbuckle notes, I'm going to mark down Big Sky was bigger than my estimation. Okay.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Charlie, in high school, I went about 5'9" and 145 pounds. How would I have done against a typical Chippewa Brave in the 17 to 18-year-old bracket, keeping in mind that I came from the main streets of Longview, Washington, and I had part-time training as a shaman in the Cowlitz River Indian Tribe?
You'd have done good, man, you know?
Yes.
I think, you know.
Oh, okay. I think I would have done pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, anybody, you know, a lot of it is just being a nice guy, you know. And, you know, if you go get on the road 80, 90 days and get to wrestle every night, you're going to catch on and you're going to get better, you know. Even if you're not the greatest athlete in the world, if you're not the biggest guy in the world. You know, that was the big steroid era, the mid-80s to the, you know, mid-90s, I guess. I mean, you couldn't get big enough. And I never did use the steroids. I was naturally big already, so I didn't have to use them. But, you know, a lot of guys like Dynamite Kid, I mean, he's like 140 pounds, and look how good he was, you know.
Wow, yeah, you've got a point there, yes. Okay, all right. Well, Charlie, I also saw your YouTube, now Sign Guy mentioned this, where you did wrestle Lord Stephen Riddle from Blackpool, England, for the world television title. The announcer said that the Chippewa Nation was around the area of Red Lake, Minnesota, and this was confirmed by your earlier comments about Red Lake. My question is, do you think that geographically that there is a connection between Red Lake, Minnesota and Blackpool, England?
No, the only connection would be as the Europeans came over and killed a bunch of natives and took over here. That'd be the only connection. But I didn't even know that's where he. I know Stevie Regal ran away from home when he was like 13 and began wrestling. You know, he was very young when he started.
Oh wow! Kind of like Roddy Piper, who left home when I believe he was 14 and a half.
Oh really? Yeah. Well, he was big out there in Portland, wasn't he?
Oh yes.
Yeah, yes. He was. He was from out that way. I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
All right. Well, Charlie, Lord Stephen Regal always has a sour look on his face. Do you agree that his facial expression and demeanor was patterned after Muppet character Sam the Eagle?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I
well,
say a little bit.
All right, well, your homework assignment is to look up any Muppet skit on YouTube that involves Sam the Eagle. That's your homework assignment.
There you go. I will.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, Charlie, Lord Stephen was led to the ring by Nobility Music, and indeed, Sir Regal was accustomed to the finer things in life, including butlers, fine food, silk sheets, and time off from hard labor, except for royal admin duties. You would think that he would be a soft man in the ring, but he is anything but soft in the ring. In fact, he gave you all you could handle.
He's a real tough guy.
Well, okay. In your opinion, could Steve Regal hold up physically if he were to go on a 20-mile Chippewa war party movement coming from the finest castles of Blackpool, England?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. And he forgot manicure.
Now, wait a minute. The Chippewa tribe doesn't really have manicures, do they? Especially when they go on tribal war parties?
Yeah, tribal. A lot of nighttime fighting there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
he would have
done okay. Yeah, he would have been a good warrior.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to mark that down. Steve Regal, good Chippewa warrior. Okay. Very good. All right.
I would have scalped him anyway and had a scalp on my horse. So.
Wow. Fantastic. You know, speaking of which, did you have a horse when you were growing up?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. Red pony.
Wow, red pony. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, don't tell us the name. Can we have your permission to conduct a contest on Turnbuckle Turmoil of what Charlie Norris's horse was named? Can we have a guessing contest?
Excuse me again. Can we say that again?
Can we have a contest on Turnbuckle Turmoil of what Charlie Norris's horse was named?
Sure. Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Okay. Wow. All right.
It's real easy. It's real easy.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. We'll run this contest for about, I'm going to say, let's say to July 12th, and we'll give you the results. Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Someone will get it.
Okay.
If they're from Red Lake and they're my cousins, though, they're cheating.
Oh, okay. We'll keep close eye on who submits. Yes.
Where's all this being transmitted today? I know it's Indiana. Oregon?
Sign Guy is running the radio show from the Seattle area. He's on the switchboard, and I'm in a very close vicinity in the Tacoma area.
Oh, okay, Tacoma. Wow, man, nice place. Okay, you're going to ask a question?
Yes, Charlie. At the 7:37 mark, you had Steven Regal in a full Nelson. Now, this is a slightly uncommon hold in pro wrestling, although it was a little bit more used in the territorial era of the 70s.
Yeah.
My question is, were you a big fan of Chris Masters and the Master Lock?
Yes, I was. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember how Steven Regal got out of that, too. He grabbed his leg and slid right out of there. You know, I had it locked in pretty good, too.
Yes, that's some of that Blackpool, England wrestling training.
Yeah, defensive, yeah. He's a very good defensive wrestler.
Now, how come Chris Masters never got King Kong Bundy in a Masters lock?
Couldn't fit his arm around big King Kong Bundy. He is a big guy. I was surprised how big he was when I did meet him, you know. I mean, wow. I didn't think he was that big and wide. But, yeah, Chris Masters, that was a nice move he did.
Well, now, did you know that King Kong Bundy played football in high school and his playing weight was 350?
Wow. No, I didn't know that. I know he used to go to Taco Bell and order 10 taco burritos, and then when he'd go to McDonald's, he'd order 10 orders of chicken nuggets, which were 100 chicken nuggets. I knew that.
Wow.
Yeah. He ate a lot of food.
What's the distance of 100 chicken nuggets put end to end? What's the distance on that?
Oh, man, I don't know. Half a mile?
Wow. Holy cow. Okay, that's how many chicken nuggets could you eat end to end?
10, probably 12.
10, okay, very good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Charlie, now that you're out of wrestling, you mentioned to Sign Guy the concussions. Do you have any injuries in the knee areas, or maybe some problems in the ankles and knees or lower back?
Yeah, my lower back is shot. My neck is shot. I had surgery on one knee already, and it looks like I might have to get it replaced. And my other knee, I got a torn ACL, and my meniscus is torn, so I got to get that fixed. I got bone spurs and bone chips in both ankles. I got arthritis and all kinds of arthritis you can name. And my neck is really giving me a lot of problems. As we speak, I'm laying in a hospital bed right now.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Whoa. Good luck on your recovery. Gee.
Yeah,
okay.
The arthritis is rough, man.
All right. Well, I notice that we're running down on time. I'll ask one last question.
Okay.
Were there any women wrestlers that came out of the Chippewa tribe? And did you ever have the chance to meet the Fabulous Moolah, Mae Young, or Wendy Richter?
I met Wendy Richter, and I met Fabulous Moolah one time at Nelson Royal's house in North Carolina.
Wow, all right. Did any women wrestlers come out of the Chippewa tribe that you know of?
No, but there could have been.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
There could have been. Right. Yeah, there could have been. I was, Reggie Bennett was probably the best women wrestler I've ever seen. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she wasn't a big name in the States here, but she was huge in Japan. And actually, she trained JBL.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, did she ever give you a knife-edge chop?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh. A lot of them.
Oh, my.
She was a real deal Cajun girl.
Oh, boy. Okay. Ooh. All right. I'll have to look her up. Well, Charlie, good luck with your Sam the Eagle Muppet Show YouTube homework assignment.
I'm
going to
look that up, man. I'm going to find out.
All right, and we'll run that contest of what we think your pony was named, and I'll turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All right, hey, brother, it's good talking to you, and good luck to you, man.
Good luck to you, too. Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Norris, we have just a few minutes left on the show today, so
okay.
I want to give plenty of time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to all of our listeners today, plug anything you'd like, social medias, upcoming appearances, if you have anything at all, the floor is all yours.
All right. Anything I want to say, huh? Well, I don't have any upcoming appearances, but YouTube and stuff is kind of reviving my career a little bit. You know, I'm meeting a lot of kids whose parents watched me, and these kids ain't that young, so I'm 52 years old now, and I feel a lot. My body feels a lot older than I think I'm. I still look pretty decent. I've cut down on my weight a lot. I don't need all that bulk anymore. And I really think it's bad that WCW closed down. You know, I think the management was bad at the end there. I think Dallas Page had too much say so behind the scenes. Eric Bischoff was just overran by the Like you call it, there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians, you know. And Dusty Ole or Bill Watts, whoever it was, they always kept it going, you know. They always kept it going. And I know that for sure that Dallas Page and Hulk Hogan and those guys, they just wanted all the money. They didn't care. There's a lot of good wrestlers down in the South there. Brad Armstrong was one of my greatest friends when I was down. Probably my best friend when I was down in WCW. And, you know, he never got the credit he deserved. They held him down, you know. Dallas wasn't going to let anybody get ahead of him. You know, he lived next door to Eric Bischoff, and, you know, he had his nose up Bischoff's butt all the time. And any of the guys will tell you that. So, I mean, that's just the truth. And, you know, Dallas, I'm sure, ain't going to like that I said that. But, you know, it's the truth. You know, that organization should still be going today. You know, a lot of guys lost their jobs there. A lot of jobs was lost for a lot of good wrestlers down there. So, I mean, I don't like to, you know, I don't want to be negative, but I think a lot of people don't realize what all went on down there. I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin, they fired him. Mick Foley quit. You know, he was making pretty good money there. He just quit. And I got fired, and a lot of guys got fired they went on to be total superstars, you know. And they just treated a lot of guys bad. And I wish you could talk to some of the other guys, you know, to find out how Eric Bischoff shouldn't have been in charge.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today, and I hope you recover very soon, get out of the hospital. We greatly appreciate you doing our show, and we'd love to have you back in the future.
Hey, man, anytime you guys need me or, you know, want to talk, you know, or anything you guys want, man, I'll be there for you.
All right, we appreciate that greatly. Fans, like he said, get on YouTube, watch some of the matches. I think you'll enjoy him very, very much. And we will be back with you next week. Get out there, support your local independent wrestlings this weekend. Lots of shows going on. Also need to mention there's a memorial show for the late Jeff Vickers happening in Georgetown, Kentucky. Primetime Wrestling putting that event on, so check them out if you're in that area, and we will be back with you next week.
Yep, support your local independent wrestling out there, people.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yes, sir, bro. I'll talk to you later, man. How'd it go, you think? Okay.